Welcome to the ageturners.com podcast, a podcast provided to help you be a part of the generation that ends this age. In this installment, Brother Ricky Acosta makes a connection between faith, God's economy, love, and our need to maintain a good conscience.
In the New Testament, there are at least two books that are written to young people. And they are 1 and 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "But flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." The book of 1 Timothy is on God's economy concerning the church, and it is in the background of the degradation of the church, the decline of the church. And it's very interesting to see that in this book, there is a strong emphasis on the matter of the conscience. Quite a number of verses refer to the conscience. And in this book, we can see the strong connection between exercising our conscience and being preserved in God's economy. We can also see the strong connection between exercising our conscience and maintaining our love for the Lord and our faith in the Lord. Today, I would like to focus our fellowship on just three verses in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, and those are verses 4, 5, and 19. 1 Timothy 1:4 and 5 say, "Nor to give heed to myths and unending genealogies, which produce questionings rather than God's economy, which is in faith. But the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and out of unfeigned faith." These two verses contain a few crucial words or phrases: God's economy, faith, that is the subjective faith, love, and a good conscience. Then verse 19 says, "Holding faith and a good conscience, concerning which some, thrusting these away, have become shipwrecked regarding the faith." And in this verse, we also have some crucial phrases. Again, faith, the subjective faith, our believing ability, a good conscience, and the faith. The faith here is the objective faith, which really can be equated with God's economy. In the recovery version of 1 Timothy, there is a wonderful footnote. Actually, it's the first footnote in the book. And this footnote lists seven crucial matters, basic matters, that are repeated and stressed throughout the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and even the book of Titus. And those seven matters are the faith. Number two is the truth. Number three is the healthy teaching. The fourth one is life, that is the eternal life of God. The fifth is godliness. The sixth is faith, that is our act of believing. And the seventh is the conscience, which is the leading part of our spirit. I would like to read you a paragraph from this footnote that connects all these matters and even somewhat defines them. It reads, "The faith equals the contents of the economy, the household administration, the dispensation of God." So here we can see the faith in this book equals the contents of God's economy. The truth is the contents, the reality of the faith, according to God's economy. Healthy teaching, healthy words, and healthy speech are the ministry of the truth, ministering to people the reality of the divine truths. Eternal life is the means and power to carry out the divine realities of the faith. Godliness is a living that expresses the divine reality, an expression of God in all his riches. Faith, that is subjective faith, is the response to the truth of the faith. Here, it's the objective faith. Such faith receives and participates in the divine realities. The conscience is a test and a check to preserve us in the faith. Now, I know there are many things mentioned here, but I just want to focus on the few matters that are highlighted in these three verses in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And those are God's economy, our conscience, love, and faith. In verse 19, it says, holding faith and a good conscience. Faith and a good conscience. These two are together. They're a team. They're a unit. Concerning which some, thrusting these away. So there were some there in the first century who thrusted away faith and a good conscience. You know, brothers and sisters, in our experience, I don't think we ever consciously thrust away faith. We never consciously thrust away our believing in the Lord. In our experience, what we thrust away is a good conscience. But this verse makes it clear, when we push away our conscience, we are pushing away our faith. We are pushing away our ability to believe and trust in the Lord. Has this ever been your experience? You go through some experience in your life where you just can't trust the Lord, and the Lord is not so real to you. Well, you have to stop and consider, have you thrust away your good conscience? Have you been taking care of your conscience? Because if not, if you thrusted away your conscience, you thrusted away your believing ability. You thrusted away your faith in the Lord. And here in the verse it continues, thrusting these away have become shipwrecked regarding the faith. And remember here, the faith equals God's economy. By thrusting away our conscience and faith, eventually we might become shipwrecked regarding God's economy. That is, we end up spiritually bankrupt. We end up with nothing of God's economy. We may still go to the meeting. We may still go to the truth school. We might still go to the conferences. But God's economy is not real in our lives. God's economy is something objective. There's no reality. The key, the source of the problem, is our thrusting away a good conscience. I hope, brothers and sisters, by the fellowship that we've been having through all of these weeks, there is now a kind of connection that you are able to make in your daily life. If you put away the conscience, if you don't take care of the conscience, then actually you're putting away your spirit. The way to take heed to our spirit is to take heed to our conscience. When we take heed to our conscience, we're exercising our spirit. If we're exercising our spirit, then we can receive the Lord's dispensing. We can have the flow of life in our heart. We can have the enjoyment of the Lord. It comes back to, are we keeping, maintaining a good conscience? In verses 4 and 5, it talks about God's economy, which is in faith. God's economy, all the matters that we know about God's economy, about God's purpose, they are real because of our faith, because of our believing ability. It continues, but the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience, and out of unfeigned faith. Have you ever made this connection that love comes from having a good conscience? In this verse, it says love comes out of three things. Firstly, out of a pure heart. Now that's easy to understand. Love comes from our heart. But then it says that love also comes out of a good conscience. Do you know that if you keep a good conscience, you will love the Lord more? Why is it that sometimes we don't sense so much love toward the Lord? We might be in a meeting. We might be in the Lord's table meeting. We might be in a church meeting, in the conference meeting, and others are being touched. But we know that in our heart, there's just the coldness. There's just the numbness. There's not the response. The reason is we have not taken care of our conscience. Luke 7:47 says, "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, because she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, he loves little." Here in this verse, we can see the connection between our love and the exercise of our conscience. Of course, here it doesn't mention our conscience, but it mentions forgiveness. It says very clearly, "To whom little is forgiven, he loves little." Brothers and sisters, if we experience the Lord's forgiveness by confessing our sins, if we confess our sins and enjoy the forgiveness of the Lord, the spontaneous result is that we love the Lord more. But to whom little is forgiven, he loves little. If, on the contrary, we don't confess our sins, or we confess our sins very infrequently, our love for the Lord will just diminish, will go down. The more we experience the Lord's forgiveness by confession, by the exercise of our conscience, the more we will spontaneously love the Lord. That's why 1 Timothy 1:5 says that love comes out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope that we are learning to pay attention to our conscience. Our conscience is critical for our going on in God's economy. Our conscience is critical for our having faith to go on in the Lord. Our conscience is critical for our maintaining our love for the Lord. I hope that you would spend some time to pray over these three verses. Bring these matters to the Lord and ask the Lord to shine on you so that you could have a good conscience. Ask the Lord to cleanse you from every sin. As the Lord shines on you, maybe even specific matters, then you confess them one by one and you experience the Lord's forgiveness and the cleansing of the Lord's blood. Put this to a test. See if this is not so, that when you have this kind of experience, the result is you love the Lord more. Oh, I would encourage you today, this week, put this to the test. I think that's enough for today, brothers and sisters. I hope you would really take this to heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, strengthen us into our inner man. Make your home in all of our hearts. For ageturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.